If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We're your host. Kyle is floating around also producing this thing.
Hello,
as the co-host and the producer today, wearing two hats. Chris Schubert, where is he? Nobody knows, but we're sure he's well. We can affirm that he is well, but he's not here with us today. We're from the Draft Network. We're brought to you by Bet Online, the number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at BetOnline. And of course, it is your continued source for all sports wagering information. They have live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. And of course, you can bet on the NBA and NFL and college football, but they also have the NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. We got a deal for you. Head on over to betonline.ag. Join now and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just make sure you use our promo code BELEAVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. It's Bet Online, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, happy National Pickle Day to you.
Oh, you know, we just had this discussion in the TDM Premium Discord because we were asking, I don't remember what college game it was, but they had all the, like, the Gatorade buckets and it was like broth. I think it was the Alabama Ole Miss game. It was like broth, coffee, hot chocolate, and like some of it was obviously for players, and I'm presuming some of it was not for players. Like I assume like the players aren't drinking coffee on the sideline during the game. But somebody asked like, where's the pickle juice bucket? And my question was, what is the best kind of pickle?
Like cucumbered pickle. Is that what you mean? Or like flavored within that?
The flavor, like what flavor of pickle?
I'm a big fan of just like the Mount Olive whole pickle, man. You know, like that's my go-to. I'm a fan.
Okay. Okay.
Don't you think it's weird that there's coffee though? Like, but I will say this. I have a friend who is he had a long career as a minor league baseball player. And he said he drank coffee throughout every single
really?
Game. He drank coffee the whole time.
I always think it's super interesting to see like what NFL players show up to the game on Sunday morning with like a cup of coffee.
sense.
And like, which ones are like, no, I can't drink, put coffee. Like, you know, Tom Brady's like, no way. Like, I can't put that in my system. Like, it's too acidic. I need alkaline water and that's it. Or whatever else. And then you see some guys rolling up with like a Starbucks coffee with the lid on, and
wouldn't be
it's me. Just fascinating, right? To all the different walks of life that you see intersect throughout the game. In every phase, including something as simple as do you drink a cup of coffee the day of the game or no?
Yeah. Well, it's a Monday here on Draft Dudes. We have a wild weekend that was in the world of football, college, and the NFL. Unreal. And we could spend a lot of time talking about all the things that happened. And so I guess the good news about that is we can kind of stay true to what we do. And that's talk about our dudes, the guys that really stood out to us. And through that, I think we'll get to a lot of the big moments from the weekend that was in football. Kyle, for my dudes, I have two college dudes and one NFL dude this week.
Okay.
I have no idea what your distribution is.
I am inverted. Okay. I have one college dude and two pro dudes.
All right. Would you like to go first?
I'll introduce my first one.
All right.
We'll be more than happy to. And this is the player who has me really questioning. Like, and we get these players that come through college football every so often, and they do this. But it has me questioning why certain rules are in place. And is it just because that's the way that we've always done it? And I'm talking, of course, about Ohio State wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., who's not eligible for this year's draft. But Joe, look at the dude physically. Look at the season that he's putting together. And tell me that he's not physically ready to go to the NFL with a straight face. And tell me he would not be a top 10 selection and the first wide receiver off the board. Slam freaking dunk if he was able to enter this year's NFL draft.
Yeah, I don't have any resistance there. That catch, man, along the sideline, getting that like inside foot down somehow was just insane.
So Joe's talking, of course, about the body control that was illustrated in the game against Indiana this past weekend, and in which he makes a leaping grab along the sideline, and he's coming out of bounds, and his left foot's like hovering over the end line, but magically it levitates and the rest of his body pivots off the access point of like his heel that's out of bounds instead. And he brings and slams the right foot down in bounds as he is careening out of bounds and making this super acrobatic catch. Just really rare stuff. And I kind of hate it for Marvin Harrison Jr. for the sense that like we see players that explode and have a dynamic season, and then for whatever reason, extenuating circumstances or otherwise, they don't rebound off of that. I think about his teammate Jackson Smith and Jigba, right? And Harrison is exponentially a better athlete and a better physical profile to the next level than what Jackson Smith and Jigba is, regardless of the fact that he's just a sophomore and not eligible. So, you've seen some guys that have come through and sat out a full season. You saw that with Jamar Chase and Micah Parsons and Penei Sewell. And I had at least one other good example.
Javon Holland. Gregory Rousseau.
Rashawn Slater. Yeah. Like a bunch of names that opted to just sit out a year. And they had the dynamics of the COVID season that put that decision in position to be for that decision to be made. And you won't have that with Marvin Harrison Jr. And we'll see what Ohio State does. Maybe they make the playoff and they win the Natty and like that box is checked. But I wish it weren't such a hard and fast policy that no sophomores could declare for the NFL draft. I think you should be able to file some kind of formal request and injunction and based on what the feedback is from the committee, exemptions, I think would not be a bad thing because of players like Marvin Harrison Jr., because he is different.
Do you worry about like the reality of doing that though? Like, how do you pick? How do you pick who that rule would apply to and who it doesn't? I mean,
well, I think, I think there has to be a floor and a threshold for what your forecast is from the committee.
So you think you kind of put it on them? If they say first round grade, like, goodbye, you can do it?
You're welcome to do it at that point. I think if you're that good as a junior, and financially it's a little different now with NIL, right? Like, guys have an opportunity to make money off their name, but I don't know.
It's tough, man.
I just look at Marvin Harrison. There's no reason that Marvin Harrison Jr., unless he wants to, and that's his decision to make, and he's got it well within his right to make it, but there's no reason why Marvin Harrison Jr. should have to exclusively play college football next year if he doesn't want to.
Well, maybe he'll be the first one to opt out of a season where COVID wasn't in your back pocket. And I think you brought up the right name. It's Ja'Marr Chase. And I remember reacting to that decision from Chase to not play. And he was a one-year sample size guy too.
Right. Right.
And the point that I remember making was we saw him at his best. Like we saw what he can do at his best. Like, and it was phenomenal. And he was a high draft pick, and you know, looks like obviously that was going to work out for him. But yeah, he's one of those guys that makes you start asking this type of question, right? So I get it. Harrison Jr. is a dude. My first dude, I'm going to go with one of my college guys to kind of keep it balanced a little bit. I want to mention UNC quarterback Drake May. This guy has been
stud.
Yeah, dude, like just insanely good all year. Big time performance in the Tar Heels' 36-34 win over Wake. He was 31 of 49, 448 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, 7 rushes for 91 yards and a touchdown. The Tar Heels punched their ticket to the ACC championship game. They're 9-1. He has been unbelievable, and I think that there's a lot of people that are starting to get to this point, but we need to start talking about Drake May as a Heisman candidate, not just like a candidate, but like legitimately deserves a seat at the table when they get to the final three. I mean, this dude has, in 10 games, 39 total touchdowns and 3,996 yards on a 9-1 UNC team. I mean, this dude every week shows up and makes tons of plays. He's only thrown an interception in 2 of the 10 games, right? So he's making plays and taking care of the football. And just quietly been arguably the best quarterback in college football. Say what you want about the scheme, Phil Longo, all that stuff. This dude is putting up numbers. They had their one hiccup against Notre Dame, kind of a really strange game, but you know, you wondered what this team was going to look like with losing an experienced quarterback like Sam Howell and all the attrition that roster's experienced over the last couple of seasons. They're as good as they've ever been, and Drake May is behind all of it.
Is there a more quiet one-loss football team in college football than North Carolina right now?
You know, as I was doing my research to, you know, make sure I had the bullet points to talk about Drake May and celebrate him, I had that same realization because I thought, I was like, are they, wow, they're 9-1. They're 9-1. They lost to Notre Dame.
Notre
Dame, 42-35, if I'm not mistaken, was that final. What they got to do, man.
That reminds me. Did Foskey break the Notre Dame sack record this weekend? Oh, I know they played Navy, so like, I mean, he needed half a sack.
Chris, where are you at, man?
Right, I'm looking it up. So just bear with me because I am wearing the multiple hats and serving in a producer role. He did not.
Oh,
he's still a half sack away.
3 games.
He's got
left,
time. Yeah, he's got time.
Get there.
He gonna get it. I'm excited for Draft Dudes alumni Isaiah Foskey set the Notre Dame record for most sacks in a career. What else you got for North Carolina and Drake May? Anything else?
He's my dude, man. My dude. One of my dudes.
If Drake May were stacked in this year's draft class, he would
be. We're doing this, huh?
Well, yeah, I have to.
I think it's one of those situations where it's like you just have so much information on the other guys that it's easy to be like, yeah, I like this guy. 10 starts. He looks great. You know, he hasn't had the same opportunity to have the inevitable ups and downs that come with being a football player. So, yeah, right now, a size, arm talent, you know, big moments. He can move.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. He's the guy. Right.
Great. Great. Yeah. Because, I mean, You look across the rest of the college football landscape, and I think largely most of the quarterbacks are either in neutral or worse that are considered to be top prospects. And worse, I'm looking at you, William Levis. That situation has gotten very ugly. And oh, by the way, you guys get to play the Georgia Bulldogs next weekend. So you thought throwing for less than 100 yards against Vanderbilt was bad. Wait till the Bulldogs come to Lexington next weekend, because that one's going to get real ugly.
I don't know how to reconcile it, man. We got some time to sort it out.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that, because there's a lot of circumstances at Kentucky that are beyond Will Levis's control. But I still think ultimately you probably have to play better than what he has, especially in the last month, to live up to the standard that I think we projected him to. He's still going to be a first round guy, but he's a much more high variance outcome player right now than I probably anticipated he was going to be, because it's pretty ugly at Kentucky right now. My next dude. I could speak confidently to say this was a player that, Joe, you and I both loved.
Oh, wow. What's about to happen here?
This player is in the top 10 in NFL history for most receptions through 25 career games. Are you aware of who I'm speaking of?
You better not be stealing one of my dudes here.
Who's your dudes?
I gave you my list. You better not be sniping my guy.
Hold on.
Because if so, I deserve to have this man as my dude.
Where's your three?
Look at our Discord exchanges.
Yeah, no, that's not it.
That's not it.
No. I freaked out. I thought it was good. And then like you were like, oh, he got real territorial with it. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, okay. All right. We're back, baby. Go ahead. Talk all about it.
So the Bears win a football, the Lions.
Wait, what's
win a
the stat?
Game.
What's the stat? I breezed over the stat.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Has entered the top 10 in NFL history for most receptions through 25 career games.
Man, good for you. That's awesome.
And I know you and I both really liked Amon-Ra St. Brown coming out of USC. I know we both comfortably thought that he was a early day two player. He was not. He was drafted in the fourth round. He has 139 receptions in 25 games. He caught 10 passes for 119 yards against the Bears. En route to Detroit's narrow 31-30 victory over the Chicago Justin Fields. Fields is? Justin Fields?
Sure.
Chicago Justin Fields is, because Fields put on another all-Superman offensive clinic with 13 carries for 147 yards and another 60-plus yard touchdown run against the Lions. But, Amon-Ra St. Brown, man, just a ball magnet. He was targeted 11 times. He caught 10 of them for 119 yards. He's a really tough, physical football player who I just have an appreciation for the variance and ways in which he can win on the field. And he is tireless. And Detroit is a place that, amidst some of their struggles in the rebuild, I think it would be very easy to let your energy and enthusiasm wax and wane or taper or whatever based on whatever's happening on any given week. Amon-Ra St. Brown, you get the absolute best of him. They get a couple guys like that. I think Jamal Williams is like that as well. And I really admire that about a couple of their players. But just wanted to tip the cap for Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I know is a brand win for both you and I for a pre-draft evaluation versus his actual draft stock, for his very productive first career 25 games. Very cool.
Love it. Big fan of Amon-Ra. Excited to see what he will look like with Jameson Williams healthy, right? I think that only opens things up for him. And I think we can all agree that there's an upgrade opportunity at quarterback too. So I think his best days are very much still ahead of him. My next dude is another NFC North wide receiver.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, Justin Jefferson. You are very obviously one of my dudes today. just an insane performance on Sunday. Vikings big 33-30 win over the Bills. The 8-1 Vikings, everyone was wondering where the signature win would come from. They're kind of squeaking away all these big fourth quarter comebacks. Well, they just don't stop, Kyle. They don't stop. The Bills were the next victim. And that game was made possible, due in large to Mr. Justin Jefferson, number 18, 10 catches, 193 yards, and a touchdown. I think this pretty much sums it up. This is from Next Gen Stats. Justin Jefferson was responsible for 9 receptions with a sub-50% completion probability, the most in a game by any receiver in the Next Gen Stats era. No other player has had more than 6. 9 of his 10 catches had a sub-50% completion probability. This dude was a monster. And obviously, the 4th-and-18 catch was monumental. Just insane.
Dumbest catch of the year.
I don't know how he did it. One of the greatest catches you'll ever see. As a fan of the team that he was playing against, I think this is the best compliment that you can give a player that you're going up against. It just felt inevitable. It just felt inevitable. There wasn't a moment in the game where I was like thinking the Bills would come away with a stop, because I thought to myself, all Kirk Cousins has to do is throw the ball anywhere near 18, and he was going to come down with the play. And he did time and time and time again. It wasn't like this guy was just wide open. The stat speaks for itself. He was making tough catches through traffic. And, good Lord. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league, one of the best receivers in the league. And he's a big reason why they're 8-1 and a real contender there in the NFC.
My last dude is first-year head coach.
First-game head coach.
You're going to do it! No, I'm not.
Oh. I was like, brother, you want to get us canceled.
No.
After all.
No, everything. I will say this. I really appreciated Bill Cowher's. I don't know if you saw it. Bill Cowher's commentary on the Jeff Saturday thing from the CBS Sunday morning pregame show. Talking about just how farcical it is that this was a decision that was made. And you look at Indianapolis, right? They beat the Raiders in Las Vegas,
brother,
25-20. Like, by the time everybody listens to this, is Josh McDaniels going to have a job? And I know, like, we're way hot and heavy and like overly hot and heavy on like, oh, is so-and-so going to get fired? Because we've already had a fired coach, and we're sitting here asking like, oh, is Nathaniel Hackett going to get fired? Oh, is right. Josh McDaniels? Like, I
Brian
know
Kelly.
It's like, right. I know it doesn't happen like that. Right. Like it's very rare to get those quick hooks, but the Raiders lost to the Colts at home
under all those circumstances, after under blowing all those 17 point leads.
They blew this one too.
Or the 17 though.
No, it wasn't 17, but they blew a fourth quarter lead in this one as well.
Did you see that Matt Ryan run?
Yeah, and that's part of the bone I have to pick with this game. Jim Irsay tells Frank Wright, you got to sit Matt Ryan and play Sam Ellinger the rest of the year. And then Jim Irsay fires Frank Wright, hires somebody who has zero qualifications to be an NFL head coach, and says, whatever you want to do, Jeff, go for it. You want to start Matt Ryan out of the blue when it was kind of teased, oh, Matt Ryan got some first team reps this week at practice. And then it was like, oh, if Sam Ellinger struggles, the Colts aren't going to be afraid to go back to Matt Ryan. And then you get to pregame and it's Matt Ryan's taking snaps from Ryan Kelly in the pregame warmup. Matt Ryan's going to start the game. There's just no rhyme or reason to any of this. And I know this is a dude segment, but like, we went down the rabbit hole, and I'd just love to hear your thoughts, because I'm sitting here just trying to make heads or tails of like, what are they doing?
You know, like we say this is a my dude segment, but also it can be just like, dude, you know?
Oh, that's a good point. Dude doesn't have to be a good thing. It could be like, dude. Can we do that? Should we do that?
We can do whatever we want. Like, Chris isn't here. You think he's getting in the weeds listening to this? No.
No.
He won't.
Absolutely.
So we can say whatever we want. Let me here. I'm not sure I'm going to answer your question right now, but I guess I want to pin this back on you if I can. One of the part of the analysis that I've taken exception with this week isn't necessarily for the anger and venom that's been displayed towards Jim Irsay for hiring Jeff Saturday, but should we really be criticizing Jeff Saturday for taking the job? Because I've seen that. I've certainly seen people saying that he's, you know, he's a contributing factor to this because he shouldn't have accepted the job. To which I would say, because I was asked this question, I did a guest podcast appearance on Friday, and they asked me about the situation. And I said, I don't blame Jeff Saturday one bit. I don't. If I was offered an NFL head coaching job tomorrow and I have zero qualifications, I'm taking it. I'm taking the job. Like, I don't feel like this is on Jeff Saturday at all.
I respected his answer as to why when he said, I might get through eight games and realize I'm no good at this and say, hey, I stink. This is not for me. But I'm not going to back down. I respect that. Ultimately, this does fall at the feet of Jim Irsay for making this decision. I think if you were to find an individual person to take exception to for this, it would not be Jeff Saturday himself. And hey, he's 1-0 as an NFL head coach, right? Like,
so what? What now?
Right.
He won a game. He did it. He did the thing. I mean,
in his first
no
drive.
Qualifications, doesn't deserve the job. They won the game.
Process versus results, right?
I get it.
Yeah.
But right now, Irsay's smiling down on everybody.
Well, let's see how much he's smiling down when this team's in no man's land again, because they're going to go back to Matt Ryan and awkwardly win a couple games against bad teams. And now they're magically not going to be in a position to resolve any of the premier positions with young talent on rookie contracts that they suddenly need.
Philly
next week. Yeah.
But then they got the Steelers.
How many points they might beat the Steelers? I don't know. We'll see if Minka Fitzpatrick's back. I know he had appendicitis, had to get his appendix out just in time for TJ Watt to come back.
Yeah.
It's just been like that kind of year for Pittsburgh, really.
Throwaway year.
Right.
Oh, you have a dude here, right? You didn't get to. First year head coach. Go ahead.
No, that's not who it is. I was just teasing.
Oh, I thought you were
teasing the Jeff Saturday bit. I do want to give my flowers to Miami Dolphins general manager Chris Greer, though. Not even for the Bradley Chubb trade, but for the Jeff Wilson maneuver has just been a wonderful addition to the Dolphins rush for 195 yards against the Browns on 33 attempts. And that included three kneel downs at the end of the game. So, I mean, we were right on the precipice of 200 yards rushing here, and Jeff Wilson for the second consecutive week led the team in rushing. He had 17 for 119 yards and a score just on the ground. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this was because of what Jeff Wilson brings to an offense that's going to run play action passing and RPOs that Raheem Mostert doesn't and that Chase Edmonds does not. And it's pretty exciting for the Dolphins because RPOs are all about what, Joe?
Conflict defenders. I have no idea where you want me to go with that.
That's exactly right. Putting a defender in conflict, right? But if you have Raheem Mostert and you've got a half year sample size of Mostert not being a player who can really consistently run through contact, right? He is speed to the perimeter, but soft contact brings him down. And if you are going to run those concepts, because that's where Raheem Mostert wins, your flow is more horizontal, right? Whereas if you have this physical player in Jeff Wilson who is smashing runs between the tackle, he had 99 yards on 14 attempts between the tackles on Sunday against the Browns. He looked more like Nick Chubb than Nick Chubb did, if we're being honest, for a vast majority of the game, with the exception of Aron McKinley trying to tackle Nick Chubb on the sideline. The urgency in which you as a overhang, hash mark defender, second level defender, to say, I got to get my rear end down in this C gap or Jeff Wilson's going to run me over. You don't have that with Raheem Mostert. You saw the Browns were very, very committed to taking away a lot of the throws in the middle of the field. Hill and Waddle combined for 110 yards and one touchdown, which is, I'm using air quotes, quiet week for them. But the running game with Wilson, allows them to capitalize. And I think it makes this offense more of an offense that says, you want to take that away? Okay. We will now hit you with this and actually make you pay for it. As compared to before, it was, well, we're still going to run RPO, but with Mostert, we can't run into even boxes and feel like we're going to churn out yards. And if we want to run what he's most successful in, the RPOs are more horizontal as compared to the vertical push that really puts those conflict defenders in true conflict to feel the urgency of feeling like they need to fly up in there. So really exciting addition for the Dolphins. Jeff Wilson, he's led the team in rushing both of his 2 weeks since the trade deadline. Very physical dude, and he's got a great feel for pressing those gaps, especially inside. And he's been a huge addition, and really interested to see what that looks like as he continues to get more experience playing with these players in South Florida.
Did Agba get injured in that game?
Tore his tricep.
In the game, though?
Yeah.
Man, I thought you were going to talk about the foresight to know that that would happen and securing Bradley Chubb to hedge against that. But
Chubb was a monster in his own right. But excited to see what this aggressive transition in from kind of Greer's been very patient with his roster building, and now they've kind of flipped the switch. And I think that they're showing a very different mentality and a very different life cycle that this team has. And we've loved talking about NFL team life cycles and how different stages of your roster and cap space and draft capital breed different mentalities. And seeing an individual general manager go to square one with that and kind of build it up and get a little time to work with the assets has been very, very cool.
I wonder how much of it is Chris Greer finally getting a chance to like do his thing. Right, because wasn't like Tannenbaum for a while, and you kind of wondered about Brian Flores' influence on it. It's like, well, I'm pretty sure Chris Greer is just doing his thing, right? Like, he's the guy that's like, you don't feel like there's a whole lot else taking away. You know, it's just him, yeah. Right?
He was very much working underneath Tannenbaum as the VP of football ops. Until from like 2016 to 2018. And then he took over in 2019 when they tore the roster down. And it sounds as though and this is just off secondhand reports, but as the 3-year tenure with Flores went, Flores started grabbing more and more and more of the say in personnel. And they've made the shift to Mike McDaniel, and there's a very different ideology with how they've assembled the roster. Flores, one of his first press conferences in 2019, he said he was averse to having star players on the team. He's not really a star player kind of guy. Well, look at what the Dolphins have assembled without Brian Flores. And I mean, you could try to tell me that stars don't make the NFL world go round, but I'd tell you that you're probably wrong. So
that's helpful, man. Helpful to have good players.
Right.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths, and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Right.
All right, let's do it. Brentley Weissman wrote a mock draft for us.
Did you have
us.
Another dude?
Oh, my God. My apologies. My biggest apologies to Penix Jr., who I 100%
about this game.
Had queued up. Surely I thought that was it. You got all yours done, right?
I'm good.
Okay.
I got four guys in, so.
So yeah,
that's what threw us off.
You kind of did. Yeah, I felt like we were done there. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington. I think he was one of my dudes like earlier in the year where I was just really impressed with the early start to the season and the adversity that he had come through, right, at Indiana four consecutive years in a row with a season-ending injury, twice an ACL tear and twice a shoulder-type deal. And for him to take his talents to Washington, for him to have the production that he's having, right now he leads the FBS in passing yards, so for all the flowers we gave Drake May, Michael Penix deserves some love there as well for just the insane production. Then, obviously, the big win against Oregon, going into Oregon, 37-34 win. He goes 26-35, 408 yards, a couple of touchdown passes. He did have an interception, but man, that the dime that he threw to tie the game up late was just perfectly laced in there. Man. And that's what I've loved about watching Penix. I actually did his write-up this past week for the Draft Network. So I've had a
final film study.
It wasn't a final. No, okay. It was the last. Okay. It was the last non-final film eval that I did. So I got a write-up in on him. And you know, I watched four games of his from this year, and then of course I watched the Oregon game on Sunday. But that's what I've enjoyed most about Penix is just the way he's getting his production. It's a lot of throws down the field. I think he was 3 for 3 on deep shots against Oregon, and he's been doing it all year, man. Just being able to see the field and get it to his guys like vertically. It's not a situation where he's just feasting on scheme throws. I mean, certainly there's some of that, but I mean, my dude's reading it and he's ripping it down the field and really making some very accurate throws. And creating a ton of explosive plays in the passing game for Washington. And man, you think about this Washington team in recent years and just how boring
bad the offense was.
Just a boring football team to watch, man. Like just horrible to watch. No, dude, not with what they have in Penix.
Some,
I mean, he's not a long-term
wide receiver can ball too.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even say the one guy's name, Onezi or whatever. He's really good. But Michael Penix, I mean, having a season, all the adversity, beating Oregon, that, you know, the Pac-12 is 100% sabotaging its own chances of going to the playoffs. But it's a pretty competitive group out there. And obviously, you know, this is one of the best storylines of the entire season, in my opinion, is Michael Penix.
Yeah, kind of neat to see him have the reclamation after he kind of bloomed on the scene in, I think it was 2019, 2020 with Indiana.
He started for 4 years there. He just never finished
and
any season.
Injuries kind of piled up. Yeah. And
18 through 21.
Super athletic quarterback, and then he took some lower body injuries, and he was there last year, and it was really ugly, so he transferred out. And man, I keep going back to that phrase that Jordan Palmer shared with us, and the number one trait, consistent trait in high-quality quarterback play is confidence. And you watch Penix play against the Oregon Ducks on Saturday night, and that dude was confident with everything that he did.
A lot of swagger.
Yep. And it really stood out. And that was really impressive.
Now.
It's time.
That was what I was thinking of. It's time.
There you go.
Fighting! Why does he have to say it like that? When he says fight.
Dramatic
effect. Fighting! It's like... All right.
Somebody clip that, please.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Chris isn't around.
Let's not tell him about it and see if he finds it, though.
Chris is 0% chance he's going to go back and listen to this.
You know what he might do? Because you know he always downloads it and he puts it in his little mixer and he sees like the size of like the audio waves. He might see that pop real big and be like, oh, what is this? Did Joe sneeze or something like that? Like,
did Joe sneeze?
I guess we'll find out.
We'll tell him, hey, it's clean. Just post it. We didn't swear.
Yeah, it's all clean. Just don't need to cut anything out.
No explicit tag yet, right?
Right.
Nothing in this mock draft should piss us off.
We can't do
that.
We can't do that.
All right, we can do it. We can hold serve here.
All right, let's do it.
Family friendly draft dudes.
Good family fun here on Draft Dudes.
Got National Pickle Day here on the Draft Dudes podcast.
Amen to that.
All right.
So how do you want to present this? Like, I have the list up. I know you have the list up.
Yeah.
It hasn't posted to the website yet, but we get the inside look so that we can record because we are kind of coming right hot off the heels of all the Sunday action. So can I give an observation?
That's literally what we're here to do.
Yeah, I just didn't know what kind of structure you would want. But
I didn't have any plan, man.
The blessing here. I'm really on board with Christian Gonzalez being a top half of the first round pick right now.
He's the first corner off the board in this mock, right? No.
No, Kelee Ringo snuck in front of him by two spots. But Gonzalez comes off at 13 to Arizona here. And Arizona obviously need corners, so it's a good fit. But just watching Gonzalez in general, and he's really ramped up his plays on the ball this year in general, in the last couple of weeks especially. He's really gotten his hands on a lot of footballs and made a couple of really nice tackles against Washington in the flats too, and run support and in the quick game. So I made that mental note as I was watching the Oregon game to say, hey, next time you come back on around on a mock, don't put Gonzalez in like the last six spots of the first round. Like he's earned that elevation of his play in my mind. He's been very impressive.
I think my initial observation in perusing Brentley's mock draft here is kind of where we're at now with the first round wide receiver conversation where, you know, I this is not the first TDN mock draft now that I've seen Rashee Rice, the wide receiver from SMU, get into the first round of a mock draft. And then maybe this is the first time for Jalin Hyatt, wide receiver, Tennessee, but I've seen him in other mock drafts as well. So like,
love him.
Welcome
with the fit
to the
Green
party,
Bay.
These guys.
The fit with Green Bay for Hyatt's a really good one.
Exactly what they need. Right. I know Christian Watson had a huge game against Dallas.
Yeah,
good for
three
him.
Touchdowns.
Yeah. I was happy to see that for him, but like,
go get a couple of those guys. You know the Packers more than anybody else. If you get cover one on third down, they're going to run inside fade with a hitch outside, and they're going to either back shoulder it or they're going to drop it in the bucket. Aaron just it's an automatic check. We get one man, we're running the slot fade from inside.
Has he ever had that type of speed, Jalin Hyatt?
I don't want to be too disrespectful to some of those early Aaron Rodgers era wide receivers.
I'm probably misremembering. People are like wanting to light my house on fire because I forgot somebody, but like Hyatt's legit. He's 4.3
speed.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's a special speed guy.
Yeah, he's explosive.
Man, I love the Miles Murphy to Philadelphia fit.
I can't believe they're going to get a player like that.
Yeah.
The Saints, big miscalculation, right? Miscalculation.
The Saints have been miscalculating this thing for 3 years. And everybody wanted to ignore it because it was really fun that they were always $150 million under the salary cap and they always finagled it with a bunch of void years and contract restructures for all their big players. And the salary cap's not real. Look, the Saints did it again. Mickey Loomis is a wizard. It's like, no, he's really not. Because all his good players that need second contracts end up leaving. Guys like Marcus Williams and Tron Armstead, and I'm forgetting a million of them. But the attrition on this roster has just taken such a heavy toll. Like, even the last jaunt with Drew Brees, they weren't a good team. Drew Brees wasn't performing at a high level. And yeah, this is what happens when you, and credit where credit's due, usually when they make draft picks, they find guys that are good fits. But with just how aggressive they've been to kick the can down the road, like, you can keep opening up new lines of credit and doing interest-free credit transfers year over year over year, right? But at some point, you're going to wake up and you're going to have $100,000 in credit card debt, and now your credit score is bad, and you can't get a new credit card to transfer six figures in debt to. And the, oh, by the way, the annual percent interest rate on that's 24.99%. So, like, that's where they're at right now.
Man, they said we need a left tackle and a wide receiver.
And we're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
We're good.
And we're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Man, and now you're staring at at least a top 10 pick, right? Right now, it's scheduled to be in the top five.
That's not yours.
And you're giving that to the Eagles, who you're going to be looking up at for years to come, it feels like, in the NFC, right?
And what's really nutty is, like, you could look back and say, oh, well, they should have traded Kamara if they had the chance, and they should have traded Marshawn Lattimore if they had the chance. They restructured those contracts already.
Yeah.
So you really don't even get relief from moving on from the deals. It's bad. Very bad things.
No safeties in this first round, I see.
Yeah, I want to be mad at it, but the NFL does this like every other year.
Yeah. We had two running backs, though, right? Is it two? Bijan? Yeah, Bijan and Gibbs.
Bijan and Gibbs, yes. I was surprised to see Anton Harrison sneak in there at 23.
Surprise. Yeah, I would say so as well. The tackles, that was the thing. That's one of the biggest themes in this draft. Paris Johnson at 6 to
Chicago. Fashanu at 10 to Pittsburgh.
Yep. Broderick Jones goes 16 to Indy. Jalen Duncan, 18 to Cincy.
That's a good replacement for
Skoronski, 20 to Denver. And then we got a spot for Anton Harrison here to the Jets at 23. Man, that's I don't see it for Harrison. Maybe. But I think that's really maximizing the ceiling of offensive tackles in the first round based on the way I see it right now.
Holy cow. Could you think of a better fit than Brzee to Seattle?
You know what? I gave it to them. I've been giving it to them in the top 10.
I love
that. Do you see what Seattle gets? Jalen Carter and Brian Brzee. Yeah. Good night.
Yeah.
Wow.
I first saw it and was like, oh, is that a, did he mean to do that? But sure enough, in the commentary here, two defensive linemen for the Seahawks may seem like overkill, but they want to build through the trenches, and Brzee's versatile enough to move all over the place. They can put him down. They could run bare fronts with those guys and Puna Ford or whoever else at the nose, Brian Moen at the nose. Like, that's pretty exciting group.
If there's a single Seattle fan that yells at Brentley for that, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, no. We got two slam dunk starters for us.
Right. And this is a Seattle team that just gave up like 100-something rushing yards to the Bucks, who couldn't run on a JV team.
To be fair, I did start Rashad White this weekend in fantasy. So
okay. I'm not sure that are you taking credit for this? Is that your way of doing that?
Yes. Rashad White's probably not going to give that back.
No. But the rushing statistics that for the Bucks in the game, the 9:30 game this morning were like normal for them.
They had more rushing yards in the first half of that game than they had for like their season game average by 15 yards.
Here's a couple defensive tackles for you. Enjoy. Right? Like,
they're a weird group because they really don't go with a lot of linebackers either. It's like Barton and Brooks, predominantly snap guys. They like that safety to roll down in the box, so it's kind of tough. Like, you got to be able to win up front. It's a good fit for them.
What's your favorite value pick here?
My favorite value selection here. like Foskey to the Titans.
Foskey to the Titans is good. I like Trenton Simpson to the Giants here at 28.
Can we get an actual linebacker though? Like, and that's not saying Simpson's not, but Trenton Simpson's a special player because he's a hybrid player, right?
Yeah, but don't you kind of trust Wink to use him?
I do.
That's what I like about it.
That's fair. I don't know. I look at the second level there. And I know it's a devalued position, but I think you can look across the NFL to a lot of the top tier defenses, and they've got pretty special linebacker play. I don't think it's a coincidence.
I'm in on linebacker. You know that.
Yep.
I'm in on linebackers.
Anything else?
I think I see it every week. Broderick Jones of Indy. Love the pick. Love the pick, man.
Right. Lock that in. Play him next to Quentin Nelson. Let's prosper.
Jeez. Is he the third offensive tackle off the board in this mock?
Yeah. Then go out and draft a right guard in the second round and do the Quentin Nelson, Braden Smith thing all over again.
They need to.
Yep. They should.
That's going to be their identity. They need to.
They should. All right. Well, I think that's going to put a bow on it for us here on Draft Dudes. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, no Chris Schubert today, but that's okay. And I believe no Chris Schubert tomorrow, Joe. Oh, I think it's just two guys being dudes this week, yeah, for the first half of the week, but that's fine. We'll have a great time. We'll do word association like we always do and have a blast talking about all the action from the NFL slate. So appreciate everybody for carving some time out of your day to catch up with us here on Draft Dudes. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, thanks for checking out the Draft Network. Thanks for friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the show. We hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll talk with you all again tomorrow.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big.